Oh, ye of little something or other. So how many people have been gardening over these last days? Yeah, we have, babe, haven't we? Cut my grass in February. Gosh. For the rest of you, feel either you suckers are guilty. I don't know, either way, really. So here we are. We're on about week five. Can you take me down a little bit, Reece? I feel like I'm shouting. We're on about week five of this series, Strengthen and Lengthen. The first three verses of Isaiah chapter 54, which will come up any second now. And if you were here last week, I need to just recover a little bit of ground where I went last week, because, as I said, this is sort of part two of a two-weeker. No? Thank you. So last week we spoke about growing capacity. And I've looked at this so much over recent weeks and written so much around it that over these 2 weeks, I hope we've really sort of provoked something. So I want to spend a few minutes just redressing where we went last week that will bring us to the sort of commercial break of carrying it on this week. So these are the verses that we have looked at already for a number of weeks and continue to Easter. Sing, O barren woman, Isaiah wrote, you who never bore a child, burst into song. Shout for joy, you who were never in labor, because more are the children of the desolate woman than her who has no husband, says the Lord. Enlarge the parts of your tent, stretch your tent curtains wide, do not hold back, lengthen your cords, strengthen your stakes, for you will spread out to the right and to the left. Your descendants will dispossess nations and settle in their desolate cities. And we've already said that these are very profound, strong images that Isaiah is giving to God's people. God is speaking to his nation. And the one thing he's doing in so much of their despair and discomfort and disharmony, he's trying to get them not just to go, whoa, it's okay, mate, you're going to be okay. Sympathy and empathy is okay, but actually you want people to have a vision of a different future without the pain and the anxiety or whatever it might be that's sort of holding them back. And that's where Isaiah's going with the nation. He's saying to them, guys, come on. God has plotted your future, and it's bigger, brighter, and better than anything you're in at the moment. So look up, strengthen, lengthen, open the curtains, and let's look out on the sunshine of God's promise and God's love. So there was a story. And I want to repeat it because I think it's very relevant to tie the two together. And always there's a number of people who weren't here last week to sort of get the gist. And I think it was a sort of key story. But we finished last week asking the question, what are the discomforts in your life? And are you using those discomforts to allow God to make you a bigger person? To allow God to grow the capacity that you have? I want to explore that a little bit more. The story was, and it's sort of taken a further course this week, was that a couple of weeks ago, in the night shelter that we're running here in other churches around the city, I sat with a guy who was volunteering. Never met him before. He was somebody who lived in the city. He just wanted to do something to serve the community. But he said this to me. He said, there's a reason why I'm here, Steve. He said, it's more than just I want to serve and give something back. He said, I want to be a bigger person because I am one of these people out of the many billions who look down on the people who you're serving here. I look down and I see them as like wasters, loafers, people who ought to get themselves sorted out and get on with life like the rest of us, pay your taxes. He said, and I hate being like that. This guy is a non-Christian. He said, so part of the reason that I'm serving in this night shelter is not just to serve the people, but to actually break something in me, so that I can walk into the future with a different prescription on the lens of grace in my life and see people in a different light, not looking down on them, not being belittling about them or talking down to them, but actually recognizing the humanity and the image of God that's born in each one. I want to be a bigger person. And so we threw this up. Many of you have seen it before and chewed through it just a little bit. said the idea that we often sit down and pray our prayers and ask God for all these things often. Give me strength, give me patience, give me, you know, courage, give me prosperity. And I think God in English language would say, get off your backside, be discomforted, and allow me to do it, rather than just sitting there and magically a magic wand swings over your life and you feel different. Ooh, Holy Spirit. Doesn't happen like that very often. God can sovereignly make changes, but for the most part, he brings the discomfort, he brings the awkward so-and-sos into our lives in a discomfortable way so that we can grow capacity. So, let's roll with this. You see, there are seasons of your life and my life that force a growth of capacity. I've made a list you could add to it. When you become a husband or a wife, when you take on the incredible role of being a parent, an employee, even when you commit your life to God and you become a Christian, there's automatically, whether you like it or not, a provocation there that means you need to grow your capacity. So it might be, you know, the whole idea, you've heard it a million times, haven't you? You know, we wait until we've got enough money to have a child, and everybody goes like, that's no child for you then. So I need to grow a capacity to think a little bit bigger and be a little bit bigger in my finances, in my energy. For some of us, those sleepless nights are long gone, thank the Lord. But there's somehow you need to grow a capacity to cope with the situation that you are in. The creativity. You know, you may not be a teacher, but you've got kids now, and somehow, rather than just feed them and provide B&B for 18 years till they go, somehow your creativity is challenged to input into their life, to draw out of them those talents and help them to grow all the faculties that are part of their life. All challenged to help us be bigger than we are and to grow capacity. Particularly as a Christian, when we meet God and suddenly there's things that are inflicted upon us that perhaps sit very uncomfortably. You know? The whole loving people, not my gift, tough. Not about being a gift, it's about the fact that the man who engineered love in the first place, who is love, resides inside you. So what you need to do is probably jab a few holes and let him leak out a little bit. Don't try this at home. Stress. I doubt anybody in this room here has never heard the word stress. However, if you think about it and the word's logged in your mind now, I would say 9 times out of 10, you use the word stress often in a negative capacity. I'm stressed out. You sort of expressing a sense of almost, you know, I'm at the end of it now, I'm exhausted, I'm whatever, whatever. Actually, let's turn that on its head. And let's say that stress is a key part of, if you're an engineer here, you deal with stress every day as part of your job. The buildings that you build and the creations that you do, you test them to the limit to know how much stress they can bear. If you're somebody who deals with stress in a negative way, I'm telling you this, don't pray that it will go away. Turn it on its head and say, God, give me a greater, bigger capacity to deal with what I'm dealing with. Example, Moses. Exodus chapter 18. His father-in-law, Jethro, comes to him. And he's looking over and he's seeing what Moses is on with. Here's a gifted man, one of the greatest men of the Old Testament. He's the leader of Israel. The people respect him. They know his wisdom. They know his godliness. When he goes to the tent of meeting to meet with God, they all have to stand up and see him go, this is our leader. His father-in-law, in a way that only family can... Frank's not listening. He comes to him and he says, listen, mate, you're not dealing with this well at all. People are getting missed out. They're coming to you for advice and wisdom and counsel and prayer. And there's so many of them, mate. So what you need to do is grow your capacity. So put what you've got into the minds of other people. Train them how to deal with people. Give them some of the wisdom that you have got rather than just lording it over them. And then you can deal with the big, massive issues that are the heavyweight ones, but other people can pick up all the other stuff. Grow your capacity and you'll be able to deal, Moses, with the stress that at this moment is dictating your life that means things are getting missed out because of that. So we spoke some months ago about, and I don't want to labor this, about having a fixed mindset or a growth mindset. Fixed mindset, this is what I am, these are the gifts that I have, this is the box that I'm sat in, no more, no space, no push. Or a growth mindset, like every teacher introduces to every child, that actually there's a bit more and a bit bigger, and let's pull out of you what's in there and grow the capacity to do what you're doing. God speaks right throughout the Bible to people's potential. Hear that? God speaks to people's potential. Potential, of course, we know what the word means. In simple English, it means the possibilities that might be out there if you just get hold of something. The reality is the happening. The potential is what's sat there waiting to do what it can do. Example, God turns up. And here's Gideon. I don't know, if you know your Bible, you might have an impression about this guy, Gideon. But clearly he didn't see himself in a strong light. His image was a bit low self-esteem. So God speaks straight away to his potential. And he uses these words. Mighty warrior. You can see, if you read the Bible, Gideon looks around and he's like, who's that then? Bring him on, I want to see him. And he has a debate, as many people do in the Bible, with God about his abilities or his inabilities. And God speaks to the potential of what this man is going to be in leading his people into a new future. He speaks to fishermen in the New Testament, Jesus does, who had been trained and brought up in the family business of catching fish. They'd now got hold of this new message of the gospel. They're following Jesus. They're astounded with what's going on. And he looks at them, and in language that they understand, he says, I tell you what, guys, follow me. And then the potential bit, and I will make you. In their case, fishers of men. But I think those words are so key to each one of us here. And he calls us, each one of us, if you're not a follower of Christ this morning, he calls you this morning and says, come follow me and I will make you. And part of that is he's going to grow the capacity, because you're not the finished article. Even if you followed Jesus for 7,000 years, that's before he came. There you go, miracles all around. There's still that sense of growing capacity that God calls us to. One more, got down here. Oh, yeah. To every one of us. Acts chapter 1, verse 8, just before Jesus leaves this planet and goes back to heaven, and the disciples are, is this the time when you're going to really put Israel to the top here and your kingdom is going to come? And he goes, sort of yes, but in an abstract way, because he goes, hang on a minute. My Father knows the dates and the times that are his. But you will be my truth tellers or witnesses. He's speaking to the potential of these nervous guys who are wondering where this is all going to go now. It's about to implode. And actually, he speaks the potential into them and says, okay, you are going to be the truth tellers. That's what a witness is, isn't it? They stand in court. They tell the truth to what they believe they've heard and seen. You're going to do that to the world around. You're going to tell them the truth about me. Speaking to potential. The Bible has so many lessons around this idea. As I was working on this week, I could have wrote probably a year's series on this. It excited me so much about the way God looks and the way that he wants to do it. A few stories from the Bible. 2 Kings chapter 4, there's a widow and she's in debt. And the prophet of God comes along to her. And she says, look, you know, we've got a last bit of stuff here. Me and my son are going to eat it. And then that's the end, really. She was as low as you can get. And the prophet speaks to her. And he says, okay, that little bit of oil there, just hang on for a moment. No baking and cooking yet. I want you to do this. I want you to grow some capacity. So go to all your neighbors and all your friends. Get them to give you all their Pyrex jars and get them in here, mate. Many as you can. I'm not setting a limit. There was no suggestion of that. So she goes and all the neighbors are piling in and there's a lot of these jars there and they begin pouring and she's like, what? But the Bible says this. As the last container was full, the oil stopped flowing. Dare I suggest to you, had she got another more 20, you know, tankers, it would have kept flowing. Had she continued, would it still be flowing today? I suggest yes. And again, God speaks to us and sort of says, so what have you got? Grow the capacity, let me fill it, and just keep going, mate. Don't suddenly come to an end and go, whoa, that's my lot here because I've only got, you know, 24 hours in a day. Another story, Luke chapter 5. These guys are fishing, famous story. They're experienced fishermen. They've caught nothing. Jesus, who's a preacher, not a fisherman, comes and gives them a bit of advice. You love that, don't you? When somebody, you know, comes and tells you how to do your profession, they've never done it in their life. Tony, I'll teach you how to use a chisel. Yeah. I own one. I own it. And Jesus tells them to go out and go throw the net on the other side. And they're going like, but we've fished all night and we've caught nothing. Just do it, guys. Humor me. Just do it. Steve version. Capacity. The Bible says the fish were big. They had to call other boats in to help them. Had they kept going, would it have been? Oh, of course. More stories. Jabez, a famous person in the Old Testament, he prayed this prayer. And people have written books on this. In 1 Chronicles 4, in all his prayer, he said, enlarge my border. But let me pick on the man more than anybody that helps us, Jesus Christ. This baby who was born to grow up to be the Son of God, Son of Man, save us from our sins. The Bible says this about him, Luke 2, verse 52. Jesus grew, yeah, in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. Grew. Not implanted like, you know, upgrading some sort of Windows system. He grew as he listened and learned and watched and acted and found discomfort himself. So the capacity grew. God recognized it and Luke writes it down and speaks it. This Son of God grew. He increased his capacity in wisdom and stature and in favor with God and man. The law, I believe, of all created life is growth and increase. It's in the nature of that little seed. Whether that seed is planted in a womb, whether that seed is planted in the ground, wherever a seed is planted, the energy and all that's contained within that, it battles out of its skin and continues to grow and develop and increase its capacity. Just look at your own life. Some of the challenges before today that have helped you to be a bigger person. From that seed that came together when your mum and dad, now that seed of God that's dropped into your life, we call it God's word. It's talked about right throughout the New Testament. We meet God, he drops the seed of his word into our lives. And although it looks a dull, boring little bit of the potential within there to grow the capacity of your life is immense. The things that Jesus teased us with, I believe are possible. I don't think he was some guy who like, forget that, mate, a bit extreme, you are Son of God. He understood humanity. He made us, he knew every vein, every tissue, every sinew, every vessel. He put it together. He was there when it was designed. He knows its capacity and its capability. When it comes to human emotions, he came down as a man so he could fully connect and understand the whole concept of what living under God's lordship is like. And so over the 33 years, the capacity of this man grew and grew and grew and grew until he conquered the world. And then he says to you and I, go into all the world with that seed that is in you to love, to show justice, to seek mercy, to put food on somebody's table, to put money in somebody's pocket, to smile when somebody's frowning, to pray when somebody's desperate, to be a friend when somebody's lonely. The list goes on and on and on and on. I haven't got the capacity, God. Good. Because I have. And it's me that lives inside of you, pushing you, taking you to places of discomfort and unease. We've heard, I think somebody's mentioned about the eagle this morning. It's a great picture in the Bible. Those little eaglets are born. Is that the right word, eaglets? Sounds right. Those little eaglets are born. And they're loving it. You know, you've all seen the nature programs. It's like me at tea time. Jane throws them from. And then it comes to a point, though, where the eagle, the mother, thinks these boys have got to grow their capacity. So what does she do? She's just great. This is wired within her. She hasn't read a program. She's not been to some, like, be a good eagle mother lesson. So the day comes and, like, phew, she flicks one of them out. And like the, whoa! And then she catches it on her wing. Man, Alton Towers, here we come, like. While she's doing that, she picks the nest a little bit. So it's a bit uncomfortable. They're not quite as, you know, bum in seat sort of scenario. And then she lets them drop a little bit further, a little bit further. To the point where suddenly, oh! The discomfort, the disorientation that they feel leads them to be not eaglets anymore, but eagles, to fly on the thermals, to catch the wind, to be the magnificent birds that we see. Why does God use that? He uses it because that's what he does with us. I don't know if you're ever told that when you become a Christian, you will live in comfort and peace and harmony and prosperity. Bit of a lie. Sorry, you know, leave now if you're sort of hoping that might be it, really. Jesus was up front. He didn't sell them on a philosophy of, okay, now we're going to change the world. He did give them that, but he said, do you know what? In my name, you're going to suffer all sorts of aggression, opposition, because of my name. And then he said, but rejoice. Don't you just love him for that? All right for you, mate. Let's bring this to an end. Enlarge the place of your tent. That's the line we've been dealing with in these last couple of weeks. A couple of things to finish. Number one, don't limit God. If there's one thing God has never done, I'm way behind with my PowerPoint, aren't I? If there's one thing God's never done, he's never had a stock check. Get this for confusing mathematics. The storehouse of grace is always emptying, yet it's always full. Answers on a postcard. Paul's working it out there. God knows that the storehouses are always full, complete, never a stock check. So we don't need to limit God and think, you know, you're very busy with, you know, these places out there or those places out there because we're a fairly good country and we've got things sorted. He's never had to take a stock check. God is unlimited. Let God this morning speak to your potential. Let's all take another step up the ladder of our Christian growth. That might be many. There might be a few people ahead of you just because, you know, they've been around a bit longer. Doesn't always work like that. But I would want me and I would want you to be bigger people because we've grown capacity for more. We've handled the stress not by banishing it or by praying it away. Dealing with it by growing capacity to help us deal with it even better and more. Lord, I want to be all that you've called me to be. I want to be part of the blueprint of your people so that we can have an effect upon the world like you did. So I'm going to make an invitation. That's why I finish a little bit early. I'm saying to you and to me, let God speak to the potential of what we can be and do. But then don't just get excited at the thought of, oh, then going back to the screen several earlier, get off your bum and allow God to bring some discomfort into your life. I don't know if you'd be, I'm not going to ask you to do this, be brave enough and say, if you'd like me to pray for you to be really uncomfortable for this next year, put your hand up. I don't need to do that. It's going to happen. Sorry, it is. Things are going to come along. And you're going to lose a bit of sleep, have a bit of whatever you do to deal with that sort of thing. I just want you to go, God, how can this make me? What are you trying to bring into my world? What are you trying to increase in me? The person that sat next to me at the desk that's an awkward so-and-so. Don't just ignore them, but God, you're wanting your love to shine out of me, so give me a bigger capacity that goes, that's the all enlarging, that goes over the side of their desk there and over the side of their desk there, right to the office of the gaff. Oh, man, that excites me so, so much. That's what 168 is all about, launching us out into the world, not bringing us into church. I'm trusting that the next big move of God won't be in the church, but from the church, touching endless lives out there. There's a great crowd of people, but, you know, there's a few hundred thousand more out there that know nothing of the incredible loving kindness of God. And he's put it in our lives to go and spill that out. Close your eyes. Thank you. Listen, brilliant. Just close your eyes for a couple of minutes. I just want to pray before I'm back to Tim. But I'm going to actually make a deal with you here. You've heard what I've got to say under the what I believe is the anointing of the Holy Spirit these last 2 weeks. And it's nice when people come and go, great message, Steve. That's nice, but actually, it's a great message if you do something about it. If you take it inside and say, what am I going to do now to make this happen for me? So we build our lives upon the love. I think let's sing that, guys, in a second. I Will Build My Life, just a great song. But before that, while your eyes are closed, I'm just going to ask you, if you here and now are saying, I want a bigger capacity in life under God, as quick as you can, just poke your right hand in the air and take it down again. Lost track. I think that's everybody. That's the evangelist speaking, isn't it? Okay, Lord, we... Lord, we come to you this morning. You who knew what it was to grow capacity. As you grew in wisdom and love and favor with God and man, to be the person that you were, the person that we adore and admire and respect and love, that we are drawn to with a magnetism. Help us to build our lives according to your word, that the world might see you through us. Take us out of this place this morning, Lord, with that thought that you're speaking to our potential. You're saying mighty warrior, you're saying fishers of men, you're saying my witnesses to each one of us. May we wholeheartedly and truly respond to what you, the Holy Spirit, is speaking to us this morning. Make a change that not just individually, but as a church, we might grow together. That this city and beyond might see something big and massive that is the presence and the life of God right in the heart of this city. So as you call us now, we build our life upon your love because it is a firm foundation.
Worthy of every song we could ever sing.
Sing as a prayer.
Worthy of all the praise we could ever bring. Worthy of every breath we could ever breathe. We live for you. Jesus, the name above every other name.